And today we are hosting the Wunder Mobility podcast in a very special location, which is the Hamburg Hochbahn offices here in Hamburg. Thank you for having us. My guest today is the chairman of Hamburger Hochbahn, which is Robert Henrich. Thank you for being here with us,
for
inviting us.
Thanks for having me.
And yeah, we will talk about what we love most, which is the mobility, especially mobility in our beloved city, Hamburg. And yeah, about the ULTP a bit, which will come up this year in June. And of course, also about the innovative Hamburger Hochbahn and how
you
are creating the mobility mix here.
Thank you.
Yes, welcome, Robert. Thanks for your time. And for the ones who are not knowing you so well, Robert Henrich is a long-serving mobility expert and is the CEO of Hamburger Hochbahn. With extensive leadership experience, and also you played a pivotal role in shaping the mobility in Hamburg, but also in other cities. We already talked a bit beforehand, also in Austin, US. So very, very long time already in the mobility area, and lots of innovative products you have launched. So you started your career in Daimler AG, and then moved as a founding COO and later CEO of Moya, and launched at this point in time very innovative car sharing or ride pooling system in Hannover and Hamburg, still very, very big in Hamburg and also Hannover. And previously, you held leadership roles in ventures such as Moovil, or launched Car2Go here in Hamburg as a very first car sharing. And now you are very dedicated to sustainable mobility here with the Hamburger Hochbahn. And I think the ones visiting Hamburg can see that there's a lot of innovation on the ground, hopefully more to come. Maybe you can tell us a bit about the Hamburger Hochbahn and what makes it so special, and what is your vision about the Hamburger Hochbahn and the mobility in Hamburg?
Yeah, thank you very much, Jana. Thanks for the kind introduction. great to be in your show. As you said before, I mean, the red line running through my professional career is really the question: how can we overcome car dependency? I'm not against car driving in a stubborn or ideological way. I do think though that we should drive less in cities. I'm really trying to find new answers for people who still use their car, and answers that people really like, that they're willing to change and rethink their behavior. And that's why we created free-floating car sharing, as you mentioned, many years ago, Car2Go, and then later on moved on to mobility platform business, ride pooling. It was always about this very question: how to overcome car dependency and create new mobility services. The idea really is, now, how do you make, you know, mobility more like a service stream to the customer from the cloud, rather than an asset to be owned? You know, right now, still people think of mobility as an asset to be owned. And that's what I basically would like to overcome. Yeah, and now Hamburger Hochbahn is the second largest public mobility company in Germany, mobility operator. We operate the subway system in Hamburg and most of the buses. It has been founded more than 100 years ago, so it's a company with a long and strong tradition. And we really try to be innovative and really efficient in everything we do. We want to improve the customer experience. We want to increase ridership, of course. Ridership is, compared to private mobility companies, already quite large. We saw 500 million passengers roundabout per year, 1.4 million passengers per day. So it's quite a lot.
It's crazy,
compare that to ride pooling, car sharing, so that is also
which is still a niche, but
It is still, in direct comparison, it is an important niche. I would say that it's still a niche business compared to public transport. But I do think it still can be improved, and there's a lot of room to grow still, and that's what we want to do here in Hamburg.
Cool, perfect. brings me directly to the main point today, which is the UATP summit mm-hmm. coming up here in Hamburg from the 15th to 18th of June.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamburger Hochbahn is one main partner of the UATP
yeah.
summit.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a bit about why is the UATP summit so interesting to the Hamburger Hochbahn that you applied as a big partner in there? And what can people expect, especially from the Hamburger Hochbahn during the summit days? What can they elaborate? What can they see? And what is maybe also something new they would maybe not expect? Maybe you can tease a bit.
Yeah, I mean, we are extremely excited about
mm-hmm.
the upcoming UITP event. It's actually not only the UITP in June, starting
mm-hmm.
June 14th. It's also the VDV Jahrestag,
mm-hmm.
the VDV is the German Public Transport Association, having their yearly conference at the exact same time. So
yeah.
we are hosting two events
yeah.
here in Hamburg, two rather big events. It's not only and not primarily about Hamburger Hochbahn, though. It's more that Hamburg is positioning itself as a city
mm-hmm.
in the mobility space very strongly. Hamburg is a kind of hotspot right now for innovation
mm-hmm.
When it comes to mobility, and that includes public mobility,
mm-hmm.
but it also includes the startup scene here in Hamburg and all the businesses that you mentioned before, like car sharing and carpooling, technology companies,
mm-hmm.
Mobility platform business. And it does involve also the city of Hamburg, the political decision makers,
mm-hmm.
The administration a lot, which are also very, very open-minded and very innovative in Hamburg, always trying new things, always being open for new companies
mm-hmm.
to come to Hamburg. And it's kind of an ecosystem, I would say. It's very, very interwoven. Everybody knows each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also include things like public transport planning, increasing bicycle usage
mm-hmm.
in Hamburg a lot. You know, we are always thinking of mobility as, you know, one integrated big question, and we are considering all of the different companies and parties as partners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't think of competitors,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we consider each other as partners and working together.
Mm-hmm.
And the UITP will be the giant stage to really showcase everything
mm-hmm.
that we have here in Hamburg, and that would include the exhibition itself
mm-hmm.
with all the interesting topics to experience there. You know, it's going to be a huge exhibition. It's going to be many thousands of visitors, but also obviously a lot of panel discussions and speeches to be given, highly interesting stuff. But then also you can, in the city, experience all the innovations
mm-hmm.
when it comes to, say, autonomous driving. You know, that's obviously
mm-hmm.
one of the big future, you know, topics that we are working on.
Yeah.
You can see that, you can experience that. There will be so-called mobility transition
mm-hmm.
tours where visitors are really shown around in the city. They can visit all the different stations where innovation really happens. That would also include the infrastructure, it would include the traffic management,
mm-hmm.
the control centers, how do you be more efficient in traffic light, you know, management and stuff. So it's really, really a huge and very comprehensive
mm-hmm.
and very exciting program
yeah.
that we're going to have here in Hamburg in June.
Cool. Sounds very exciting, not
yeah,
only
yeah.
for us mobility nerds,
yeah.
but also for the kind of normal people who just want to use mobility every day,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I think if you look into Germany, Hamburg is really kind of a role model.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think this collaborative approach makes you a role model, or makes Hamburg the role model, that it's not against each other and kind of protecting the public transportation against the other new kids of the block? It is more about finding a way to create the perfect mix of mobility, right?
Yeah, absolutely. collaboration is extremely important. And collaboration across the companies, but also, as mentioned before, collaboration with political decision makers,
mm-hmm.
with all the stakeholders in the society, with administration, because it's always also about regulatory questions and
mm-hmm.
stuff. Everybody really need to come together and work together to make the mobility transition a reality. And that's exactly what we're trying to do here in Hamburg. And one good example for that is maybe our mobility platform that we have here in Hamburg. It's called Switch. It's a mobility platform run by the public transport, but including all the private options, like taxi, like ride sharing, ride pooling, scooter, or, you know, all the other sharing businesses. And customers are embracing that a lot. You know, they really want to have all these choices. They want to have all these choices in one place so that you would not have to install 10 or 20 apps, but you have just one app. And maybe the backbone still is in public transport, but public transport, in all humbleness, is not always the best options. You know, there might be, you know, occasions where you need a car sharing vehicle or whatever.
Or a bike or something like this.
And we as a public transport want to make it as easy as possible too, to then choose different options when the need arises. And that's how we look at things, and that's going pretty well, and people like that, and people embrace that openness and thinking, I would say.
Do you think the adoption of public transportation and also using the new mobility mix in the city better than the own car, for example, was driven by this mass application by the Sufferfell switch? So what was the feeling when you launched this? What was the adoption?
Well, you know, the adoption is strongly growing. You know, I'm not quite sure what was the starting point of all that. Most importantly, of course, is always, you know, to look at things from the customer perspective, really from the customer perspective, not from your own perspective. It's really not decisive if I think, you know, our offering is cool or not. It's the real question is, do people really like it?
Yeah.
You know, do they perceive what they get from the public transport operator as comprehensive, reliable, available, punctual, clean, safe?
Easy.
You know, that easy to use, all that kind of, and that's a basic thinking. You know, we are trying to look at things from a customer perspective, and you know, there is only one solution from a customer perspective. That's a solution that gives you all the options that you need. And that's what we're trying to do. Thinking back, you know, like 10 years from now, we already tried with Mover. You mentioned the Mover company to do exactly that. We kind of failed. I would say we created a cool app back
then.
Was a bit too early still. You know, the adoption was not as strong as expected. Also technical obstacles, you know, like interfaces not being standardized, the business model not yet really known and well understood by all the players that might have all played a role. But now it's picking up. Now people really want that and also expect, you know, a platform like that from the public mobility sector. And that's why we are also trying to now work together beyond the city of Hamburg. You may know that we started a project to for the first time actually, trying to bundle the development of the mobility platform between Berlin and Hamburg, because we do think that's the next evolutionary step. But again, I mean, here in Hamburg, it's picking up pretty well.
Yeah, and I think this is exactly the right approach, right? So do use synergies, because the mobility behavior of people is, especially in bigger cities, not so different.
That's
so
right.
To really work together with Berlin and not have Berlin and Hamburg the same development costs, the same cycles of iterations and the same learning. So really, put the customer in front and understand what is needed to do so.
That's right.
I think this is also what Hamburger Hochbahn and what is working quite well here in Hamburg. And I think also the generation shift is a bit helping here, right? So it's not that everyone still wants to own a car. It is more openness. Also, maybe this is also why Mover was a bit too early, because everyone wanted to have the car and everyone kind of lived in their car and found it very skeptical to use a shared car with others. which is maybe also not available. But in the
end, it's still a long way to go, right? I mean, coming back to the app development. I mean, it's still today the reality in Germany that you have dozens of mobility apps, local mobility apps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's still a long way to kind of overcome that fragmentation. We did it very successfully mm-hmm. with the Deutschland ticket, the mm-hmm. Germany ticket.
Yes.
Where just 3 years ago or so, we also had that mm-hmm. fragmentation with all the local public transit mm-hmm. tickets, which were very difficult to understand mm-hmm. from a customer perspective and very different in all the cities. And we did overcome this very successfully. People love it. Now we have that one easy to understand, easy to use Germany ticket.
Yeah, you can use a digital, so it's very, very easy.
You can use a digital, always in your pocket. Physically or digitally as you like, but it's just that one ticket.
Mm-hmm.
It's also highly attractive from the pricing perspective, and you just buy it once and use it everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's also a lot of ease of mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just have it in your pocket and you don't need to think anymore.
Yeah.
Which ticket do I need and is it valid?
Yeah, do I need another one? Yeah.
And I think the next step is to really do the exact same thing with all the mobility apps.
You know,
overcome fragmentation and build one, for Germany. But it's a long way to go. And also, I do think that the customer experience in the mobility platforms that we have in Germany can be improved a lot
mm-hmm.
still. You know, think of real-time data
mm-hmm.
that we often still not have in these apps, so that you would be able to see where your bus exactly is,
is it punctured on time,
Also, the occupancy of mm-hmm. vehicles is not yet really shown
mm-hmm.
in the app. Why not? You know, I would like to see that if the bus is really packed or not. Maybe I want to wait 2 minutes more
mm-hmm.
to catch a bus which is empty if the next one is is too packed for me, or something like that. Or also, I mean, think of all the bigger stations that we have in a city like
mm-hmm.
Hamburg or in a city like Berlin or Munich or wherever,
mm-hmm.
where it's sometimes really also not easy for a customer to find, the right connection. Many buses, many tram lines,
mm-hmm.
many subway lines and stuff. And then you need to go, maybe you need to run even to really find, that you need to catch and one is, where do I have to need to
mm-hmm.
go and do I need to hurry or don't I? There's so much more that an app could do for you. To make the daily utilization of public transport just easier and more affordable. And that's something that we are really, really
mm-hmm.
focusing on right now to make it easier. And then you mentioned, again, the question, how to overcome car dependency.
Yeah.
I will say, I mean, 20 years ago, I would have thought it's just easier to
mm-hmm.
do that. When we invented free-floating car sharing, we really thought, that will change. All of a sudden, you don't need to own a car anymore.
Yeah,
why
you
should you?
Take
you
it,
can
yeah.
just use it whenever
yeah.
you want. So much easier,
no
cheaper, blah.
Yeah.
We thought, once we have that, figured out and deployed in every city, that will absolutely change.
Yeah,
what,
the hockey stick will come.
The hockey stick will come, and it did to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Hamburg, for example, I think we have 5,000 or so free floating car sharing vehicles deployed today, so that's quite something.
It is, yeah.
It's more
in Berlin,
car sharing
more,
vehicles
yeah.
than taxis, for
yeah.
example. But it did not overcome car dependency
mm-hmm.
completely.
Mm-hmm.
So it is much harder than expected.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be really, really good in your mobility offering
to convince.
All these guys.
The moment it's quite packed in big cities.
Yeah.
And as soon as you need to travel a bit outside the city, then you are still dependent on your own car, right? And this is
But even within the city, even within, many people still love their car, people
mm-hmm.
like driving. And then, your own car is just always available, right?
Yeah.
You don't
need
to ask questions, don't need to make a reservation, you know, you don't need to worry, you know,
you just drive. Yeah.
And, you know, you really need to match that high level of customer comfort and flexibility with the mobility service that you offer. And we are trying to do exactly that. Mm-hmm. We're trying to become better and better every day with our subway system, with our bus service, with our app, with the digital part, with the physical part, focusing on safety, focusing on cleanliness. Really, every bit, you know, of the user experience to really match what people are used to have today with their own car, and then step by step even be better. But it's a long journey.
Yeah. It is definitely, the adoption is really so, and the problem is that people really need to feel it once or even many more times that it is really as easy. If you experience it 1, 2, 3 times and it was easy, you still think, maybe it was just easy for those. But if I really have a critical situation, I better have my own car at home. And I think this is really, people need to talk about, people need to share their experiences and also share the good experiences, how you can live in a city or even outside the city without having your own vehicle at home. Is there something where you say, okay, the Hamburger Hochbahn is exactly also focusing on that? Is it also, I know you do a lot of marketing in this regard, sharing good stories, and also within the app. Do you think this already changed the behavior of the people, that they also talk about the app and say, hey, I have the Hafer Switch app here and it is so easy.
Yeah,
you can
definitely
buy your ticket. You can rent a scooter over here.
Definitely. I mean, it's a lot of different aspects, right? I mean, the most important part of what we do is investing to improve our service. And that's not all, you know, regarding like fancy digital stuff. It's really like investing into the network, right? We are building a new subway system here in Hamburg, to give an example. We are building a new subway line with a total budget of roughly 16 billion euros, one of the largest construction sites that we have in Germany. So that is also extremely important, right? I mean, we are seeing record passenger numbers every year, basically. So ridership is increasing a lot, and we need to make sure that the network really keeps track with that. And we are doing exactly that. We are really investing into the network, be it the subway or be it the bus network. We are also investing a lot into the electrification. We do not want to run combustion buses anymore. We still have plenty of them, but 30% of our buses are already electric. It's also a huge investment.
Yeah.
It's a huge technological change. Also, including again
the whole infrastructure,
the operational hubs and the charging infrastructure. We are building all that, but the user experience is just more pleasant with the electric buses, and actually not only the user experience, but the city as a whole is benefiting because they are just silent, no emissions and stuff. That is also something that we do. We just enlarge the network. We improve the daily experience on the go, on the ride with our fleet. That's so important. Then on top comes all the digitalization, everything that we do with the app and so on and so forth. And then the next step obviously will be the autonomous driving. And that's going to be an extremely important next evolution. Because we will need driverless vehicles to expand the network even more
and to be
available in the outskirts, even at night, you know, and stuff like that. But it's not, you know, the one single answer, you know, to convince
really
a die-hard car driver.
Yeah.
It's really a combination of all these different factors, and we are looking into all of them, I would say.
Yeah. Very nice. Do you have a kind of city which is your role model in terms of mobility, where you think, this is kind of where I would like to develop Hamburg into? Or is it a mix of different cities? They think they're doing things good, but others are doing this better.
Well, I do think that Hamburg is pretty advanced.
Yeah.
Because there's so many innovative projects now going on.
Yeah, especially the last market
share.
Years, yeah.
The market share of shared mobility is going up strongly. Mm-hmm. The ridership is going up strongly. It's the integrated approach here in Hamburg. It is also maybe part of the picture that the city is investing into bicycle lanes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's also very important. It's one more option that you now have.
It's a great city for cycling.
It's a flat city. Cycling. But historically, we never had these bicycle lanes, which was really not good from a transport planning perspective. But now that's all being done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say Hamburg is definitely one of the real innovation hotspots in Europe. But other cities are doing a great job too. Look at Vienna, where public transport is even stronger than here in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
They started earlier than Hamburg to really push back individual driving, you know, like 50 years ago when Hamburg still tried to become car-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, in a way, a role model too, I would say. Look at cities like Amsterdam or Oslo or Copenhagen, where bicycling is even stronger than
it's
here.
It's also more in the nature of the people, I think, over there, but it's also that the city is made for that, right? So it feels safe and easy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's also a kind of a learning journey, I would say, that always takes time, but then also, I mean, Paris is a good example. Barcelona is a good example. But I try to really give back space to people, improve the quality of living in the city, improve public transport, improve shared mobility, and push back a little bit on individual driving. So there's good examples in other cities too, of course.
Yeah. I think they have good examples, but what's really special to Hamburg is really this connect each and everything, right? So find a good mix, what the people like. Also, you're working with all the different parties, all the different partners together to really make it the best mixture of mobility and not just public transportation. Because as you also said, it's not always the subway or the buses which brings you your way. It could also be the perfect combination out of it. It just needs to be safe, right?
Yes.
You also already told us a bit about autonomous driving. I think there's also a project coming in Hamburg, right? So also collaborated with the Hamburger Hochbahn. Can you tell
us? There's actually two major projects going on in Hamburg.
It's the Alike
and Bohoy. The Alike project is the project which Moja and Hamburger Hochbahn are doing together with a number of other partners too. And it's going to start this year.
Mm-hmm.
The first vehicle that we are going to see on the road will be the Volkswagen ID. Bus vehicle. And then later on, we'll also introduce the Holon Mover. It's another partner in that consortium in the Alike project. And the Holon Mover is a people mover, we call it. It's a vehicle which is a bit larger. It's not a real bus, but a bit larger than a passenger car, fitting 10, 12, up to 15 people. So you can use it for ride pooling, but you can also use it for line transportation. And that's going to be shown also on the ULTP and also a closed user group. People are already applying for it. Everybody wants to experience
it. Definitely.
But not everybody, but many people will already be able this year to really hop on and experience the autonomous driving here with these two vehicles.
It's very exciting. Yeah. Especially in combination then with the buses and... is it special, or is it city areas where you have this pilot project, and how many cars will you launch in this autonomous driving?
the Alike project will bring up to 20 vehicles, mm-hmm. 10 each on the Volkswagen and the Roland vehicle, so up to 20 in total. And they will drive on public streets, really down in the inner city, downtown core of
Hamburg. Mm-hmm.
So we are not doing that project somewhere in the outskirts, remotely where it's easy.
Yeah.
We are really doing that project where it's most difficult.
I mean,
where you have dense traffic, where you have jaywalking and lots of bicycling and stuff. You know, we really want to demonstrate that the city is, not the city, but the technology is at the tipping point of being ready for commercial scale use. That is maybe one of the major purposes of the project, and that's why we are going really, really downtown.
Yeah.
I'm sure people will love it. You know, I did test drives already, and I'm a believer. I'm convinced. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be the future.
So you will share all the rides and invite the people to hop
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Very cool. And then the plan is to really make it public. So the pilot project is for few months or for years?
The Alike project will run in 25 and 26, so for 2 years now. Then it's obviously the big question. What comes after? I mean, in the longer perspective, everybody wants to scale, right?
Yeah.
And there's different use cases, of course, that you could have in mind. You know, you could use autonomous driving for more like individual taxi ride sharing kind of business models, but then also for ride pooling, like Moya does today, but then also for public transport.
Yeah.
I mean, I could also imagine in a more distant future, of course, a larger bus driving really autonomously. And you could see examples for that in other cities. Like Stavanger and Norway, they have a autonomous bus. So
yeah.
It's still with a safety driver, but it is a bus. It's a larger vehicle, like 8 meters or so, and so on. In Amsterdam, they will also demonstrate that. So in a 10 years perspective, although that will become relevant, and it is important also for us as a Hochbahn because it's in Hamburg, but also in every other city in Germany, I would say, becoming increasingly difficult to find enough drivers.
Yeah.
You know, we have really shortages in the labor market.
Yeah.
You know, it's limiting our ability to grow, I would say.
Definitely.
We want to grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we are believing in the mobility transition, so we need more buses on the street, but drivers are hard to find. And that's why I think autonomous driving is going to be the future also for buses.
Yeah. Especially if you combine it with the right data, you could even say a small vehicle is picking you up in the morning because it's raining, an autonomous one, and bringing you to the next station where you can then jump into the train or something like this. So
absolutely.
With the right data, you can do a lot, and then people will really feel how easy it is to move through the city,
absolutely.
To be on time, to be weather protected and not really needing their own car, right?
Yeah.
Will the Alike vehicles already be integrated into the Switch app?
Or yes, absolutely.
From the very beginning onwards?
From the very beginning. I mean, the Switch app is the mobility platform, you know, where everything comes together. And that will, of course, include also driverless mobility. It's going to be integrated from day one, absolutely. It's also be integrated in the Moya app, of course, but also in the Switch app, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Very, very exciting. Cool.
Yeah,
I think we can be very, very excited about the UATP to showcase the Alike project, hopefully. Maybe we can even have a look, not sure, about the construction site of the U5.
Absolutely,
not sure if
this is
one part
we're
of the
show that.
Technical visit, maybe, because I think
yes.
this is very, very interesting, not only for tech-affine people, but really to see what the groundwork of such a big project is.
It's super impressive.
Yeah.
It's super impressive. It's just massive, right? I mean, we are only beginning to really build that new subway line, but still it's super impressive to see that. I think it's also important to show it to the people, to demonstrate to the people, because all these construction sites that we are now starting in Hamburg also create some pain for the people.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a lot of construction in Hamburg for a good reason.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to build a better future for the system, but it also today creating
today
some pain.
It's annoying.
And therefore, I think it's even more important to show to the people what we are doing and why we are doing it, but also how good the future will be.
Yeah.
Because amongst other things, of that new subway line, it's going to be. I didn't mention that before. It's going to be a driverless train. You know, it's going to be fully automated.
Ooh, the first one, right?
Yeah, so we are looking at automation not only on the street for buses and so, but also in rail transportation. We want to automate our subway trains too. And the U5 train, the one that we currently build, will be fully automated. And that makes it, you know, really a high performance subway system, and the interval will be so short.
Yeah.
The train will run every 90
so
seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Every 90 seconds. That's
going to
be possible in future
because
of automation. That means, from a customer perspective, again, you really don't need to care about timetables anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You just walk to
just
the station,
yeah.
and it's going, you know, just all the time. So it's going to be extremely beneficial for the city. And again, we are demonstrating all that in the mobility transition tours, the technical visit tours that we do during the UITP week in June.
Very, very much looking forward for that. And very much looking forward to really shape the mobility, not only in Hamburg, but hopefully also in other cities with
the
collaborative approach. I think this is also for us the most important, and very happy that you are also driving this for the city of Hamburg with so much innovation, speed, and also so much heart to really make it possible and to really make it possible for the people living in here, and not just for the companies making profit, because in the end it is the people who need to use it or who need to really also like it and to understand, as you said, what is coming up. And there is innovation. Sometimes it takes a bit, but innovation always takes a bit of time, right? And maybe it sometimes also fails, and then it's iterated and ramped up again. But I think Hamburger Hochbahn is on a very good track in there, and also the whole city of Hamburg is really driving the speed.
Yeah, thank you very much. As I said before, it's all about collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Hamburger Hochbahn is trying to do their part as good as we can. But still, it's all about collaboration. It's many partners coming together.
Yeah.
It's about trust in the ecosystem. We do have that trust here in Hamburg. Again, it's not only companies, but it's also political decision makers and the administration. That all need to come together and need to work. And that is what we have here in Hamburg.
Cool. Happy to see. And thank you for taking the time today with us.
Thank you, Jana.
Hopefully, next time we will see each other, and at the latest at the UATP, maybe on one or the other panel, we will have further talks.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.